Guess what day it is?
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
I'm here to deliver a message of unity and strength. I'm here to repeal and replace Obamacare. You know, it's pretty good. Hi, I'm Steve, 616. Probably should update the traffic, and then we'll give you the top 66. Was I disappointed he was good? No, I wanted him to be good. Because he's the president.
Right.
Now, let's be clear. It's a speech. Got to turn it into action. But anybody that wants to just go, he sucked, Trump was terrible. No, he didn't watch the speech.
No, and he did. He must have heard you. He really toned it down.
He did. Now, he didn't say anything about Russia.
Nope.
And there's a lot of things you could poke holes in. But the fact is, he delivered on a tough speech. Anyway, we'll get to the top 6 at 6. Mary, why is traffic so bad?
What do you mean?
Eisenhower was putting along all morning. Yeah, I mean, come on, it's just some drizzle.
I don't know. There's no accidents or anything. Just a little drizzle, I guess.
Yeah.
Leftover stuff from
yesterday. Do people know that drizzle's not going to kill you?
I don't know.
Remember that horror movie, Drizzle?
No.
The worst movie ever.
Now it's time to move on to a little something we call
the Steve Cochran Show presents the top 6 at 6.
That's the best number I've heard yet.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yes.
6.
Lucky guess.
My favorite number is 6.
The top 6 at 6 on 720 WGN.
I live tweeted the speech last night. Not a State of the Union address, because it hasn't been long enough to do that. The first one in a presidency is always called an address to a joint session of Congress, which is what he did. Now, the mechanics of delivering that speech are not easy. You know, it's not a rally. You've got the traditional, at least traditional in the past 20 years, three teleprompter screens. You've got to work those screens. It takes a certain amount of rehearsal, a certain amount of practice. The speech needs to be written well. But here's what we know. Every president in those speeches makes a lot of promises. Every president in those speeches says things that are good applause lines for the moment, but maybe tough to push forward. However, when you come in like President Trump and the expectations are, well, he's crazy. Anything could happen. And he actually acts like the president. Well, it comes across even better than a traditional template by the numbers, State of the Union like address, because really when I break it down, that's what it was. It was a State of the Union-like address. But it was the first time since he won that he's looked like the president. And there was that great moment where he recognized Ryan Owens' widow.
Right.
Ryan Owens, the Navy SEAL's widow, was there. Now, keep in mind, she lost her husband a week ago, mm-hmm. or 2 weeks ago. And she's there, and they remember and recognize him. And even had a nice ad lib about the longest applause ever.
How about that? Yeah, over 2 minutes.
But it was a nice human moment. And as you know, I rarely think Trump is human. But I thought he did a fine job. You know, if you grade it on content, whatever, it's a B, it's a C. But the fact that he delivered it and he wasn't nuts, and I don't think he's tweeted anything yet this morning. I'm not saying a guy can change, but certainly he did himself a lot of favors last night. And he gave people a reason to be a little more optimistic.
He was the most, and we don't use this word often with President Trump, he was the most humble that I've seen him.
He was actually kind of a grown-up. Yeah,
I thought so too.
That's what threw me.
Mm-hmm. I wish he would have addressed Russia and maybe said something about the media.
Great.
But again, it's joint sessions.
Well, that's the other thing. That's a good point. He didn't trash the media.
No.
Yeah.
I mean, I wish we would have said something positive, like, you know what, let's repair this, let's mend these fences or something. But
would have been
nothing might be okay, too.
Would have been interesting if, they kept showing Jared and Ivanka. Yeah. I think I tweeted this out last night. If they left at some point and just went, well, we got to sit here. Let's go to a movie.
Date night.
Did you see Chuck Schumer fell asleep?
Oh, my gosh, I know.
Yeah.
I saw that.
I don't know why they do that at 9 o'clock East Coast, because those guys generally get up early and try to pee. And, you know, then they go to work, you know, and they're around Washington all day. 9 o'clock's late for them.
It is. It, somebody always falls asleep. Remember, was it Ruth Bader Ginsburg who fell asleep
yeah.
one time?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I think, pretty common.
Only 5 of the Supreme Court justices were there, which is a relatively low number. But as you know, we only have 8.
Right.
But look, there's no way you could watch that speech and say Donald Trump did not surprise you and do a good job.
Mm-hmm.
He did.
I agree.
He absolutely did. Next. Without question, the moment of the night, as mentioned, the Navy SEAL widow, widow of Ryan Owens, with the extended applause. There was also a great moment with a woman named Megan, who is a student at Notre Dame, who I did not know this, but Trump brought it up. Yesterday was Unusual Diseases Day. Did you know there was an Unusual Disease Day?
No.
And she suffers from something called Pompe disorder, which is a very rare disease. And it's the premise of the movie that Harrison Ford starred in, playing her dad, who in real life purchased a company to develop drugs to attack this Pompe disease. It was all a general tie-in to prescription costs, which kind of got lost in the sauce there.
Yeah.
But that is a big deal. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a big deal not just for people and the actual cash that comes out of your wallet or your purse, but it's a big deal for the cost of health care in general. And, you know, that kid is a real success story. I think she's 20 or 21, and she's going to Notre Dame.
Another human moment of the speech. Very nice.
Yeah, exactly. Next. No snow all winter? Well, no snow in January and February. No measurable snow in January and February for the first time in recorded weather history in Chicago.
Yep.
However, tornadoes last night.
Oh, brutal.
And we had 2 people die. Is that right?
We did, yeah. Yes, 2. Yes, that's our number now.
And Ottawa got hit again.
Ottawa gets hit again. Governor Rauner is going to be there at 9 o'clock this morning, and they're going to have a news briefing at 8 o'clock, the police.
I've never talked to Tom about this specifically, or maybe I have, but I don't remember his answer. But why Ottawa and certain areas, you know, continue to be targeted by Mother Nature?
Well, there's so far. I mean, it's very vast. I mean, there's a lot of farmland out there. There's not a lot of,
but it's also a small
it's a lot
target.
Of open, yeah. The high school was damaged too, by the way. Ottawa High School.
What about that nursing home?
The nursing home was hit as well.
Injured.
I don't think there's any injuries, but they did have to evacuate a portion of it. A friend of mine lives out there, so we were texting, and her son actually was out there trying to help, and, you know, he's a first responder, too.
Imagine the tension of that when you're trying to get folks in a nursing home to move as quickly as possible to get to safety.
You know, and
I mean, the concern, their worry, their stress, and you trying to, I mean, physically, they can only go as fast as they can go.
Yeah, and the airports, you know, props to the airports. My mom flew in last night. She was on vacation. I picked her up.
How'd they get in?
I said, you better take an earlier flight. We were texting yesterday morning. I said, take an
earlier
flight.
I thought the airports would be closed. Were they open?
They flew. She said it was one of the scariest flights. But, you know, again, the captain kept apologizing. They were trying to fly above it. And she actually landed on time at 6:30 last night.
I guess she could fly around it, right?
Yeah, she said that the captain said that they flew above it. And then at the very end, just kind of came down. And it was very turbulent. But great job to the pilots.
I had a flight in the 80s where we landed in wind shears. And wind shears, you know, straight line winds or winds that, matter of fact, caused a major plane crash in Dallas a few years ago, where it literally takes a plane and just spikes it into the ground. And they can come up, you know, because they're invisible very quickly. A tornado you get to see, but these thunderstorms that these pilots fly through is amazing. We don't give the pilots enough credit. You know, everybody wants to go, pilots, they're all flying by wire. It's all automatic pilot stuff now. And, yeah, the computers do a ton of the work. But thank goodness there's still a human being at the front that knows what to do.
Absolutely.
Because it ain't going to be me.
I have a lot of confidence in these guys.
Right?
And women.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And you do a lot of travel.
Mm-hmm.
Next. How good is it to be Barack Obama and Michelle Obama? Well, you're sitting back at home waiting for major publishing companies to fight over how much money they're going to give you. It looks like the combined value of their 2 book deals will be $60 million. An all-time record for a book advance and an all-time record for a book deal on the back end. $60 million bucks. And you know what? They'll make it. That's not a bad deal for the publishing company. It sounds like an insane amount of money, because it is. But it's not so insane because you know that people will buy the books. Mm-hmm.
Do they have to go out and do book signings?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. And they got to come through and they got to hawk the book, you know. So we'll have the first lady and the president in here.
By the way, did you see?
Coming through going, hey, Steve, if you could mention the book one more time.
Buy two, you might lose one.
Yeah, exactly.
You're careless. Michelle Obama yesterday made an impromptu stop at a high school in Washington and spent an hour and a half just talking to the students.
Well, she's got kids, right?
She's got that kind of time now, too.
That's right. They're on a fixed income, as in no income, until the book money comes in. John DeCoste is here.
Do you think that with their, what is he, get a pension of $300,000 or something like that because he was president? Does that, like, those checks just pile up in a drawer someplace? Like,
or you forget about the money?
Did you put it in there by the phone?
I think he's worth about, you could check this on one of those highly reliable internet net worth sites. But I think he's worth about $15 million. I think that's the number I heard recently. So I don't think you forget about the checks at $15 million. What is it? 12?
About 12, yeah. About $12
million. I don't think you forget about the checks at $12 million. The guy that would surprise me is Warren Buffett. Warren Buffett, if you're 85, 86 years old and you got $50 billion, and yet he gets up every morning and figures out which $3 breakfast he's going to have at McDonald's. So, next. Johnny Odia, back to the Blackhawks.
How about that?
That's a good move.
It's a good move.
What do we give up?
I gave up Mark McNeil, who was one of the guys who was playing at Rockford and hasn't made it to the major league team, to the National Hockey League team on a regular basis, and a draft pick, a conditional pick next year. So relatively, I think, a good deal.
And cheap.
Not giving up a whole lot to get him.
Odia comes here. Does that mean possibly Hjalmarsson's out for a while?
Well, he's out at least the rest of this week is what Joel Quenneville has said.
Uh-huh.
He was placed on injured reserve retroactive to last Thursday.
So, by the way, I'm on permanent injured reserve in case anyone was wondering.
Yeah. So he can come back, but they're not really saying the extent of the injury.
Well, it'd be great to have Odia back. A lot of people confuse the two of us, me and Johnny.
I know that. Yeah. But put Oduya and Hammer together again.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be bad either if he's healthy.
Got some age back there now, huh? You got Oduya, you got Campbell.
It's good to have a little gray hair
right?
back there.
How about it?
Steve?
And finally, if you've been considering cutting the cord, YouTube announced yesterday they will do your cable for you, which includes your local channels, and a choice of four different premium services along with the various cable operations for a starting of $35 a month.
That's not bad at all. I like it.
Now, I don't know the mechanics of how YouTube is going to make it happen for your television, but I assume it's the same way you watch things through your computer now. But will there be a special YouTube box of some sort where you have to wait between 9 and 1 on a Tuesday for YouTube to come by? I don't know. But there you go. That's your top 6 at 6. It's 6:29. We're back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show.
Mr. Speaker!
On Chicago's very own...
The President of the United States!
720 WGN.
I am here tonight to deliver a message of unity and strength, and it is a message deeply delivered from my heart. We are a country that stands united in condemning hate and evil in all of its very ugly forms. We are also taking strong measures to protect our nation from radical Islamic terrorism. Tonight, I am also calling on this Congress to repeal and replace Obamacare. And we will soon begin the construction of a great, great wall along our southern border. Believe in yourselves, believe in your future, and believe once more in America. Thank you, God bless you, and God bless the United States.
6:41, 1 hour on the nose, felt longer. President Trump had sort of a slow pace as he plowed through the teleprompter, but he did it. He delivered his first major speech. Well, the first major speech to Congress. You could certainly argue the inauguration was a major address. But the tone was different. The tenor was different. I just don't know that we ought to hold our breaths and think the 70-year-old crank we've seen is suddenly going to change his colors and be a different guy. Let's go to Pat Brady for thoughts on this. Good morning, Pat.
Morning.
What'd you think?
I thought it was a very good speech. Finally showed some of the discipline that he's lacked. And he delivered it well, and he actually dressed like a president, looked like a president, got rid of the red tie, buttoned his coat, and it was good. But the reality is he doubled down on his rhetoric during the campaign and just made it sound better. But he's changing the Republican Party, this nationalist, populist strain that he wants to the direction he wants to take the party. So, but overall, it was good. It got great reviews, and hopefully this is a good sign that he can get something done.
Well, I too agree with you. And it's, as I said, and you know this, it's not an easy speech to deliver. So the fact that he got through it, he delivered it, and delivered it well is fine. I don't know how much I believe he believes. What's your feeling on that?
That's, you know, I've said all along, that's why I think it's an opportunity for Democrats and Republicans in the House and the Senate to make some deals, because he's not moored to any ideology. I mean, he doesn't really care, never has. So maybe that's the opportunity to get some deals done that he'll actually sign legislation, because he's a deal guy. He wants a deal, and he doesn't really care about the ideology on either side. And I like this infrastructure spending idea. The Republicans on the right don't like it because it's not paid for. But that may be something that he can start with. And I wish he would have started with that rather than focusing on travel bans and things like that.
Doesn't that come down to, though, the infrastructure? It's like, well, we really don't need a new big screen TV, but we have to fix the furnace. You know, we maybe don't need to increase our military budget by a record amount, but we've got to fix the bridges, the roads, and the like. Isn't that how this goes?
I think so. And we do need it. We need it terribly, particularly in Illinois. So I think it's a great idea. Plus, it's an opportunity to create some jobs, and there's all kinds of jobs that get created around those projects. And he's delivering on a campaign promise, and I think that makes the Republicans and Democrats look good.
Pat, why no mention of Russia? I know, obviously, it was a strategic move, but a good
because
call.
Because Putin wouldn't let him.
Because it hurts him. He didn't mention anything that hurted his cause. This was a redone campaign speech, repackaged to be, I think, much more effective. But he's not going to mention Russia in this speech, which I think was too long, as much as I like the speech. He won't talk about that. But you know what? There's been no idiotic tweets in almost 72 hours. And the speech got pretty good reviews. So maybe we're seeing a turning point in how he behaves. We'll have to wait and see.
I was concerned, because Steve Bannon wasn't there, what might be going on back at the White House. So I was pleased that we weren't involved in a war by the time the speech was over. I didn't notice the everything sucks, the storm clouds are over our head, the world's coming to an end, Bannon take. Was he in that speech at all?
Well, you didn't hear much about foreign policy. You didn't hear much about the wars. What I think the influence was, and I don't like it, this isolationist. And I like America First. I think it's great to hear that we want to take care of our people, but we can't be an isolationist party. We never have been. And that's why I think he's trying to remake the Republican Party in a direction that I don't think long-term is going to be good for the country, and that's probably the Bannon influence. I'm hoping the calmness and the professional delivery was something that Reince Priebus, chief of staff, had a part of, because it was well-delivered.
The money piece of this is the big deal because, you know, and again, this is not a Trump thing. This is an every president thing. Every president stands up for a State of the Union or the first one, the joint session to Congress speech, and promises things they can't pay for. But one of the things that came out in the past couple of days in this record defense budget increase was cutting back on State Department budgeting by a huge amount.
And, won't happen. They're not going to let that happen.
Well, there's no way it'll get passed.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. There's too much resistance to that. It's a bad idea. And it almost seems like a petty war. You can't do one without the other. And I agree. I'm for the defense spending increase. And if you look at it as a proportion of the budget, it's not that big a deal. What I don't like is there's no talk of entitlement reform. We're not trying to take away anybody's Medicare, but this system is going to go bankrupt. And this speech was geared towards an older audience, which supported Trump. I mean, this speech was to his base. But I'm not sure if that's good for the long-term health of the country. And the one point he did make is President Obama added more debt, not yearly deficit, debt to this country, $9 trillion, than the 43 presidents that preceded him.
Yeah, no, but again, though, to be fair, when he came in 2008, the economy was cratered, and he had to do a lot of things. The rest of it he could have taken better care of, and he did not. But having said that, just because we're in a hole doesn't mean we need to dig the hole deeper. And Trump being the king of debt, self-proclaimed king of debt, I don't think he cares how much money he spends, whether it's for 4 years, 8 years, or 4 months.
I agree. And that's what that's not conservatism. That's not what the Republicans are all about historically. That's why I think he's trying to reshape the party. But even directionally, if we can say we don't have to get rid of it all, we'll at least set it in the right direction. But you've got a pretty conservative Republican caucus that maybe will knock him back on some of that. And as I said before, he doesn't have an idea he's really stuck with. Some of the stuff I think he just thinks up as he goes along. So he wants a deal. If he gets a deal, I think that hopefully with people like Paul Ryan there, we'll get something that I think is better long term.
Take another shot at Chicago without any solutions, which was pointless and needs to stop, but won't. He also cited some crime statistics, which are completely incorrect. His unemployment numbers were completely incorrect. But these speeches generally aren't fact-filled. And again, that's not just a Trump thing. That's an every president thing.
Yeah, I think people are smarter than that. But this speech was directed to his base. And again, it was just a redone campaign speech, but just refined so it was well-delivered. Everything he said during the campaign, he said last night. And a lot of it's not exactly factually accurate, but hopefully there's two or three policy things that come out of it. Particularly, he was talking about immigration. And if you caught it, he's talking about cutting legal immigration, not just illegal, legal immigration, which is a big change for this country. So we'll see how that works out. But we do need a comprehensive immigration reform plan.
Yeah, and by all accounts, the most fair-minded folks agree, we don't need a wall. We need an immigration plan that works. We don't need a wall.
That wall thing. Every time I hear that, it just I go, please don't say that anymore, because I just think it reflects poorly on the country. We have a border security problem, sure, but the wall thing is just bad image in your head.
There are ways that words are put together and sentences are understood in other parts of the world that are not the same as here, whether it's sentence structure or translations or just tense of verbs and things of that nature. Radical Islamic terrorism is something that he hammered Obama and Clinton for not saying forever. And no less than H.R. McMaster said, it's a big deal in the Islamic part of the world, and it's an insult there. So in other words, it doesn't matter that we're offended by the lack of use of it. It does matter that we're firing up more people to join their cause and hate us. McMaster would like him to drop it. He didn't drop it last night. As a matter of fact, when he said it last night, I tweeted this out. It looked like Final Jeopardy. I'll take radical fundamentalist terrorism for 200, Alex. But is he likely to listen to McMaster? Because he didn't this time out.
Yeah, apparently didn't last night. But to me, Trump is now morphing into a politician. He was supposed to be a truth speaker. And the reality is, if McMaster says this is bad for the United States, you should be listening to him. And he didn't do it because he wanted to give a speech that appeals to his base. That's just what he did. That's a political calculation, but he put the interests of the country behind politics, and that's supposedly not what he's all about. And that's last night, as I watch this, I go, well, he's finally the president, but now he's a politician too. So he's going to have to, it's going to be difficult to keep the base fired up when you're doing things that are seen as political. I was very disappointed when he did that last night, given what McMaster had said.
There are, the vast majority of people don't follow this stuff like we do or you do. So they come away from that speech last night feeling what? I mean, they're not going to get up this morning and go and break down what he said. They're either going to go, oh, I thought he was pretty good, or I was concerned.
I think relief for people like me, it's relief that he actually had the discipline, gave a good speech, whether I agree or disagree with all the policy. But I think the speech is going to be remembered for the Navy SEAL. And you got to give Ivanka Trump, his daughter, an A+ for standing the way she stood next to the Navy SEAL's wife. That was one of the best political moments I've ever seen. I don't agree with using people like that as props, but they did it, and he did it effectively. And I think that's what a lot of people feel. But I don't think you can discuss this, too, without looking a little bit at the Democratic response, which was something to see. I don't know if you watched that.
The governor from Kentucky?
Yeah, it looked like the Lawrence Welk show.
It was a lot of old folks.
It was weird how he was in the diner. And
old folks
sitting
in
around
a diner.
Yeah.
But I got to say, I like the guy. You know, the Democrats have no bench, so if he lives, he could be a front runner.
Steve Beshear.
Well, that's what they were talking this morning, but I just like, wow, this is supposed to be the party of the youth and excitement, and I was waiting for a one, a two, a three. It was something to watch.
It's funny the way the texters are breaking out this morning. Those that hate Trump still hate Trump. Those that love Trump still love Trump. No surprise there, right?
No, and that's exactly. But the speech was given to his base, and for, again, people like me, that I don't think I'm not part of his base. I was relieved that he delivered it with some maturity as president, and it was coherent, and he was disciplined, and he looked like a president. Some of these policies, I'm not sure if it's going to work, but for me, it was more relief. And listen, I've never liked the guy, and I've said that a million times, but I want the country to do well.
Yeah.
And I want to pull for him now because I want some of this done. And I think a lot of people feel that way.
I'll see your I never liked that guy, and I'll throw in I actively dislike him. But I also want the country to do well. And if he could be mature presidential Donald Trump and actually accomplish infrastructure for starters, just that would be a hell of a step in the right direction.
But the rhetoric, the isolationist talk to me is very scary. The nationalist, I don't like that, and it's a dog whistle for certain groups that it really, I don't think that's what the country's all about, but maybe there's 47-48% of the country that believes that. I hope they're proven wrong, but I think we need, it's a global world now, and we are a leader in it, not someone that needs to recoil and build big walls and not deal with anybody.
And we get caught up in this foreign aid argument all the time. The amount of foreign aid we spend, or in some parlance, piss away, is minuscule compared to the money we spend in other areas, and a lot of it needs to be spent not because we're buying our way around the world, but because it's aid to take care of our American interests in other parts of the globe. You don't have to go back that far in history and see how isolationism works. It didn't work prior to World War II. It's not going to work now in a global world that's connected instantly by the internet. So that's got to go away, but as long as Bannon is in his ear, it won't, at least not for now. So
I think after watching last night, his influence is in the speech, but maybe the calmer voices are prevailing there and that he'll have less influence. I'm not optimistic on that, but maybe it'll happen.
Yeah, and I'm not, and I totally agree that he was talking to his base. I just don't know when these guys realize that his base is less than half the country. You know, at some point you got to try to get more customers in. You can't keep selling to the same people.
Although he did say deeply divided several times, I thought, all right, at least that's an acknowledgement.
I'll take deeply divided for 200, Alex.
He did, but the problem for the Democrats is they have no message at all.
Right.
And when you put the 80-year-old former governor that just lost his whole state to the Republicans up as the leader or the spokesperson for the party, that's a bad sign.
I don't understand. I'll let you go on this. I don't understand. How the hell did we get here? No, I'm not talking about Trump now. I'm talking about the Republicans screaming about repeal and replace for the last 6 years and have no plan. And the Democrats had it all to themselves and now barely have a party left. How did we get here?
It's the biggest upset since Illinois beat Arizona in that basketball game 10 years ago. I've never seen a turnaround.
2005, baby. One of the greatest games in college sports, my friend.
I've never seen the fortunes of a party, my party, turned so quickly. I thought we were going to lose the Senate. No way we'd win the White House. We've got control of everything. But you're right. We have to deliver.
Yeah.
We made a lot of promises. We have to deliver. It's not going to be a good election in 18.
And by the way, we have just been, it's just been confirmed, the designated survivor last night was Kiefer Sutherland. Kiefer Sutherland,
good.
If the worst had happened. Thank you, buddy.
See ya.
Pat Brady, live from wherever he is.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
Woo! Woo!
Ow!
Love that money.
$713, sponsored by Grandview Homes. Elise Glink in just a second. Steve Grzanich on the seventh floor.
Yep.
I thought I heard you say something about a merger with Sinclair.
Yep.
Did I miss a meeting?
No, this is just breaking this morning. According to Reuters, Sinclair Broadcasting Group has approached Tribune Media to discuss a potential merger. And it obviously would be a big deal.
What do they own?
They own a lot of TV stations, big-time TV stations. You remember they made news during the presidential campaign because they had apparently came to some agreement with the Trump campaign about providing coverage of the campaign or something.
Oh, those guys.
Those guys, yeah. Okay. But they own a lot.
Well, they'll love me.
They own a lot of television stations in the middle markets.
Okay.
So like Peoria, places like that.
But at this point, it's just a conversation.
Just a conversation. You know, putting the two together, Tribune Media, a big TV station owner.
Yeah, with major markets.
Could be a big deal, a hurdle to cross, yeah.
Again, sponsored by Grandview Homes. Joining us now is Elise Glink. And Elise, we don't know how that will affect us, but like everyone else, we're mostly concerned about us. You understand.
It's like us is better, right?
Yeah, of course. All right, so there's a lot of people getting up this morning who are thinking, man, when the market's open this morning, what's going to happen? What's your prediction? What's your prediction? Based on last night's joint session of Congress get-together, the little Jenga game that the president had with Congress, is the market going to react big, small, or not at all?
I think the market will react, and I think it'll be positive, surprisingly. I think, you know, the more normal Trump sounds, like the more presidential and the more calm and the more, you know, just leader-oriented, I think that meets people's expectations, and it's now kind of a surprise, frankly, that he's doing that. So it makes people feel good. Also, I mean, to just get to something even more appropriate, the GDP numbers came out yesterday. And what it showed is that real GDP increased at almost 2% in the fourth quarter of 2016. And then they revised the third quarter estimate for gross domestic product to 3.5%. So in the third quarter, we were kind of on fire. It dialed back a little bit at the end of the year, which is kind of surprising given retail sales and Christmas and all that. But that, I think the market might react a little bit to that as well.
What about people getting up this morning and going, this is our year. We're going to buy a house. We're going to get a house. It's
yeah, go,
a little grim.
Go get it fast. So home prices also are rising kind of crazy. In December, we saw, according to S&P Case-Shiller Index yesterday, home prices rose almost 6% on an annualized gain in December. And according to First American's Real Home Price Index, which kind of measures price changing on single-family properties adjusted for impact of inflation and interest rates and income and all this, they said that home prices were up 8%. And this is with interest rates rising. So basically, it's going to cost you a lot more to buy a house.
So this is very much a seller's market, not a buyer's market.
It's totally a seller's market. And yet there are some deals to be found. There are people out there looking to buy houses. It's just that the inventory is so small. And I'm hearing that from everywhere. It's, you know, in Chicago, there's not... People feel like they've seen everything on the market already. In Atlanta, I heard yesterday somebody, they're buying off the plans again for new construction. There just isn't a lot out there to look at. West Coast, forget about it. You know, there's nothing to look at out there. And so when you have very little that's out there, people are going all in and you're seeing bidding wars break out left and right.
Are you seeing more, say, seniors or people retiring, at least maybe selling their homes and then buying a rental property?
Yeah, I'm not really seeing, I keep hearing about how, you know, seniors and baby boomers and everybody are going to downsize, but given how low interest rates have been, it would be more expensive for them to trade down for something smaller, seemingly more affordable. So the calculation is getting a little tougher, and so I think fewer people are trading down. And so, you know, selling and buying a rental property, I'm not really seeing that either, but we'll see where the year goes, right?
As we continue, we talked about this last week, and I guess I'll wrap you up on this, but Andre mentioned rentals. Once these buildings get online, you told me last week, then it'll become a little more even, but the condo market, the apartment market, still very much in favor of the owners and the landlords, right?
Yeah, I think so. And in fact, we're just hearing from Cranes this morning that there are two deconversions, and I've talked with you about this before. These are rental property condos, or maybe they were rentals originally. They converted to condominiums. Now they're being deconverted back into rental properties. There's a huge one out in, I don't know, the Palatine area that Cranes is reporting. There are 800 units. They want to take that off the market. And there's another one in the city for 250. But these are going on a lot. And you know, over time, when you have 250 units there and 500 here and 150 here, you start taking thousands of condos off the market turned into rental properties. Good for the rental market, not so great for the condo market until these other ones come online later on this year. So you're seeing it's kind of an interesting thing, and I'm actually covering it a little bit more on thinklink.com, so you can stop by there and get the latest.
Get all of it at thinklink.com, whatever you need.
Yep.
Love advice, lottery numbers. It's all there.
Absolutely.
ThinkGlink.com. Thank you, Elise. Jane Lynch will be the first winner of a Stevie Award. She joins us early before she goes to work on The Good Fight, the new CBS streaming show.
This is the Steve Cochran Show.
You are about to board the Sioux Sylvester Express. Destination? Horror.
Get a haircut? Looks awful.
You do with your depressing little group of kids what I did with my wealthy elderly mother. euthanize it. That was the most offensive thing I've seen in 20 years of teaching. And that includes an elementary school production of Hair.
What do you want, Ladyface?
Well, I may buy a small diaper for your chin because it looks like a baby's ass. This is what we call a total disaster, ladies. I'm going to ask you to smell your armpits. I'd love to stay and chat, but I got a satellite interview. That's lingo again. For an interview, be a satellite.
By the way, those aren't clips from shows. That's just Jane Lynch's weekend.
The hidden camera in her house.
Let's see if I'm right about this. Best in studio guest for the first Stevie Award. This is the biggest morning in show business. You can tell because I wore a button-down shirt and a sport coat.
Oh. Is it the right envelope?
Oh, this is Warren Beatty.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, the winner is Jane Lynch. Jane Lynch, best in studio guest, a Stevie Award winner, live from the, I assume, the set of The Good Fight, where she is going to be working the next few days and taking over the show and eventually having it being changed to the Jane Lynch fight.
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Hi, everybody. Good morning.
Hey, Jane.
Good morning.
Congratulations. I know this is a surprise. It's a very big honor. You are the best in studio guest of the year.
Yes.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much. Is that because I got into it with Dan Hampton the last time?
That's actually a different category. That's most awkward moment. Yeah, that'll be later. But congratulations. What was the last major show business award you won?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. I mean, they happen daily.
Yes,
definitely,
yes.
This tops the list. I can't think. I won some award for a short. You're not really asking me, are you?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, when you go back to the award room at the Jane Lynch Estates, you know, maybe you could text me. But the fact is, this has to rank quite high.
Yeah.
Oh, it does. You know, hometown. I'm a big fan. Yeah, this is it really thrilled me to the core. So I'm absolutely over the moon. Thank you, all of you, for this great distinction and honor.
Now, here's the thing. Andrea Darlis is a complete stalker of Jane Lynch and
I am not
a complete stalker of everything related to The Good Wife.
I know.
And now Jane Lynch is doing The Good Fight?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
Oh, man.
It's pretty amazing. You know, I don't know if I told you or not, but I was looking at the billboards all over L.A. and I thought, I got to be on the show. I love Christine Baranski. I'm not saying one word to her in the show, unfortunately, but I love her. I love the King's writing, the creator of Good Wife and The Good Fight. And lo and behold, I go to my email, and they have asked me to come to New York and be on it for an episode. So I'm on the final episode of this season, and it's a blast. It's so much fun.
That's an amazing cast, too. A lot of the original characters from The Good Wife are on The Good Fight.
Christine Baranski is unbelievable.
She rocks. She's so cool.
Yeah, she really is.
What do you play? Are you a lawyer, Jane, or are you a...
No, I'm an FBI agent. I'm a federal agent, and I'm questioning Maya... the girl with the red hair, you know, the actress Rose, who is into her parents do the people who did the Ponzi scheme, and I'm kind of playing a rumpled lifer FBI agent.
Are you at all involved with Russia and Trump?
You mean in real life or in the show?
No, just in the show.
Yeah, this investigation. Oh, yeah, that's happening on the fly. And I'm here to tell you that the intelligence agencies have hatched a plot, and they're just waiting for the right time to spring it on us.
That seems logical.
My fantasy.
Yeah, it seems totally logical. Jane Lynch, I know you've got to go to work, but congratulations. We love you. You know, this is your town. You're a Stevie Award winner. Your award will come by 6 to 6 week mail.
Right. I'll look for it.
Yes.
Along with an Aurelio's pizza.
That would be great. I'll take that over the
hey,
yeah.
Whoa.
See?
Hey, whoa. No, there'll be a coupon. And again, I want to remind people, The Good Fight on CBS. What's the new network called?
CBS All Access.
You can
go to CBS.com.
CBS All Access, yes.
All right. Enjoy that. You're going to be great.
Great. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Bye, Jane.
Thank you for calling in. It's Jane Lynch, the first Stevie Award winner.
So she's finally made it now, right?
Yeah.
She wanted to be here live.
She did.
But she went from L.A. to New York and skipped us. Because, you know, she's working.
Because there were storms last
night.
Stormy. They couldn't land the plane. Yeah.
Might as well just go to New York and do a show.
Right.
At 7:28, we will come back in just a moment, still to come in this hour. The Warrior Games are coming up later this year in Chicago for the first time away from a major military installation. It's a major get for the city. And we are happy to help promote it now and in the future. So we'll talk to those guys coming up. John, anything from you at this point?
No, I'm just thinking of Aurelio's Pizza.
It's understandable. I'm not. I mean, she's not wrong about that. That Aurelio's Pizza is a bigger deal than a Stevie Award.
Actually, Chiclets.
729. Back after this on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio. This is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
739, and we're excited about the Warrior Games and a Special Olympic polar plunge. Actually, it's got to get cold for it to be a polar plunge, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot colder.
At this point,
this.
It's tepid plunge, room temperature plunge. Easy for me to say. But let's start by introducing the folks in the room here, starting with our friend Brandon. Who are you and what do you do, sir?
Steve, thanks for having me. I'm Brandon Marty. I'm the Chicago lead for the Warrior Games coming here this summer from June 30th to July 8th.
And the Warrior Games are what?
They're a Paralympic competition for wounded warriors. This will be the first time in 2017 that this competition is taking place outside a military installation. So we're really excited it's coming to Chicago.
A lot of cooperation from the city? And
yeah, tons from the city as well as your other guest here on the Park District side as well.
Speaking of the Park District side, please introduce her.
This is Jerry Hennigan, and she's the special rec coordinator for the Park District, in charge of both the polar plunge here as well as a great partner for Warrior Games.
We like Jerry because she's always available to answer our stupid questions. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you? Thank you for having us today.
Of course. And tell me about the polar plunge.
We're really thrilled. It's our 17th year, and I know you were saying it's a little tepid. The water's still in 30 temperature.
You promise?
Degrees. Yeah. Sure, we can test it out. I've been out there.
All right.
We're very thrilled. We just secured Dax Shepard and his wife, Kristen Bell.
Are they going to do it? That's great.
Yeah, they just confirmed last night, and I know Dax has the movie Chips coming out and stuff. So Brian Urlacher will be out there with Johnsonville Brats, you know. But we have a lot of great support through the years. We started in 2040 people. Last year, we had 5,000 go in the water, and it wasn't this nice out. So it's a great program. We consider Special Olympics one of our best exports in the city. Having it starting here, and next year in 2018, it'll be the 50th anniversary.
And we're talking about where and when again for the plunge?
North Avenue Beach this Sunday, March 5th, and everything kicks off at 10 a.m.
Well, we looked ahead. What's the forecast supposed to be for Sunday?
It's supposed to be 59 degrees.
But the water will still be cold.
Yeah, we can't heat the water.
it would be difficult to heat the lake.
Come out of the water, at least it'll be a little warmer.
Yeah, exactly.
And we have a very special guest in studio, Brandon, if you would.
Yeah, this is R.J. Anderson, a Chicagoan, also a wounded warrior, and I've been twisting his arm to try to plunge with us. He's going to come out and support, but medically he can't get in the water. So, but he's also trying out for the 220 Paralympic team as well, so he has a great story. So I'll let R.J. take over.
R.J., welcome to the program. How are you?
Thanks for having me.
You look great. You got your Hawks hat on. I like that.
You know it.
So first, thank you for your service.
Thank you.
Where and when?
I went in 2008, served in Washington and Fort Lewis McChord, and then over in Kentucky, Fort Campbell.
Okay, and what's the nature of your injury?
Motorcycle accident. It was a freak accident.
So going too fast?
No, not at all. Just
an accident. Accident.
The accidents happen.
So you are what's the definition of your condition? You're paraplegic.
Paraplegic, T4, paraplegic.
All right. So your mobility and your feeling are above the waist?
Below the nipples.
Okay. So there's a lot that you can do. So this team that you're trying out for is what? What's the skill?
This is Paralympic precision shooting. So this is air rifle and air pistol.
Nice.
So, you know, by me being in the Army and all, of course, loved shooting and all. So
you're a pretty good chef?
We're doing good. We're doing good.
How often do you get to practice?
I practice every day.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Every day.
So you're excited about the Warrior Games as well?
I'm super pumped, man. To have it here in my hometown, right in my backyard, you know, it's very, for them to have me, you know, come on and mentor some of the guys and,
sure,
you know, kind of push people, you know, let it be what it was for me back when I started, you know.
You stay in touch with your guys, the guys you served with?
Absolutely.
Yeah?
These are my brothers for life.
Good friends here and around the country, I'm sure?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
You said you got out when?
2014.
What do you do now?
Training every day and then just minor endeavors, just trying to
got a good voice,
get myself going.
Totally. He's got a good voice. I'm going to get him on the radio.
I'm thinking I'd take a little Q-tip and just have you hold it up and he'd shoot it right out.
Well, that doesn't seem like a great idea until until I watch your training skills in full. Before we get back to the plunge, Brandon, what do folks need to know about being part of the games?
Well, you go to dodwarriorgames.com. Mm-hmm. It has a website and has all our information from the schedule to the different venues. We want people to come out. Bottom line, come see these warriors like RJ. We're going to have over 300 folks, participants, participating, as well as an international flavor to this as well. Great Britain. Looks like the Aussies and Kiwis are going to come.
Is that right?
Not New Zealander Knights, but Kiwis Canadians as well. So this is just come out and support.
So plenty of real hardcore competition between the fellas.
Oh, it is. It is very much so. And it's open to the public, free of charge, from United Center to Soldier Field. Just take a look at that schedule and come out and support us. And come out to the plunge, because the Warrior Games is supporting the plunge. We have a team, including myself, plunging, and Mark
running?
Doyle from Rags of Honor.
So, Mark Doyle is scheduled to be with us. He's in California doing something, and he apparently forgot the time change.
Oh.
either that or he's still up. Trying to comfort Warren Beatty, but we were hoping to have him on. But you know, Mark Doyle from Rags of Honor. The plunge this weekend. How much prep goes into that in the course of a year?
We literally start the day after the plunge to prepare for the following year. I'm fortunate. I work for the Chicago Park District, and our superintendent Mike Kelly plunges every year and does have all our staff support and pitch in. And our charities is Special Children's Charities. That's been supporting Special Olympics since 1969. So it's great.
Todd Manley and our GM forever, Jimmy DeCastro, GM Emeritus now.
Yes.
They both have done it. I've not done it. Have you done it?
I've done it about 20 times.
Oh.
Does it ever get to the point where you go, well, I know what it's going to feel like. I'm used to it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, you learn, like, okay, I'm not going to wear that big costume, or I'm going to borrow shoes from one of the divers. You know, the little tips that help it.
Experience. What are the little tips? Give a few out for people.
We do require everyone to wear something on their feet. There's not a lot of ice out there, but just for safety. We do have costume contests and judging and things, so people win anything from United Airline tickets to cruises on the lake. There's a lot of prizes that are given for costumes, as well as individuals who raise the most funds, teams that raise the most funds. So there's a lot of incentives, but it's a great spirit and a great day. And
well, you told me that not to wear too many clothes.
Yeah, right? I said less clothes is the better.
How do you train? Can you train for it and sit in like an ice bath or something?
Oh, I don't recommend that. Okay. I would just say do it once and run out and just brag about that.
Of cold shower is not a good idea.
Yeah, well, you can, but I'm not putting that out there, and so anyone gets mad at me. But I mean, it's the adrenaline of everyone on site too. Is just everyone's there for the great cause. And it's great to have Warrior Games out there with us. Brendan and I have been working hand in hand for a couple of years, I think, because now his wife's getting mad. No.
Do you have to go completely submerged for it to count? I mean, you can't just like dip your toes in.
You can just do whatever you want.
But then you'll be heckled.
Yeah.
Some people won't. Their friends won't give them the money. They're going to sponsor them unless their hair is wet.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. And are there some people that just go in, get out, go right back in? I mean, there are a few people you have to go, you can't keep doing this. You must go home now.
Yeah, we have like organized shoots and security when we work with the fire department scuba team, the police, marine unit, our scuba divers and lifeguards. So one year in the earlier stages when we weren't so large, there was a father and he kept bringing his son in. I'm like, could you please stop and call DCFS?
Keep going, no.
You went like three times already.
This is the worst bonding ever. Dad, can we go home? Stand by, more of these guys in just a second. Again, dodwarriorgames.com for all things you guys are up to all year. What do we do? Got a website you want to
plug? Now you can do for chicagopolarplunge.org.
Okay, thanks for that. Stick around.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
More with Brendan, director of the Warrior Games. What do we call you? What's your title?
everything Warrior games here in Chicago.
Okay.
That's kind of what. No, we're doing everything. I should thank our presenting sponsors, Boeing and Fisher House, as well as
sure.
a number of other sponsors that have come in. And the city has been a great partner. I mentioned the Park District, as well as a number of other non-for-profits and groups in the city. We just had some great support.
And Jerry Hennigan from the Polar Plunge is trying to twist my arm to get me to go in the water on Sunday. So what I did do, I twisted Andrea's arm. It looks like she's going in. And our new pal, RJ. RJ, I love RJ. RJ Anderson, who can't remember how many medals he has. Yeah, me too. Yeah, same problem I have. And our friend Mark Doyle involved as well. We couldn't find Mark, but we found his lovely wife, Kip. Let's go live to California. What's Kipper?
Good morning, everybody.
Sorry we woke you up, but where's Mark?
Mark is, he's in California. I'm actually over here in Chicago.
Oh, you're here. Okay.
Oh, I'm here. He's working out there, and I'm holding down the fort. I'm just moved here from New York, so I don't know what you guys are talking about with this cold winter stuff.
Right.
So I'm ready for the plunge. Both feet in.
Have you ever done one?
I have. With my really brave daughter. I did it on Christmas Day, but it was like 60 degrees in New York, so we did it. And then we did it again just to say that we actually had done the dive twice. So I don't know. I was hearing you talk about all these guys going back in for seconds and thirds. That's going to be me.
Well, you know, we know you and Mark and everybody associated with Rags as well all support what's going on. With the Warrior Games. As a matter of fact, you guys introduced us to Brendan, so we appreciate that because happy to publicize it. But anything else we ought to know from your end?
No, we've been trying to get the message out because I think it's a way to show that, the dedication and helping with the resilience that, you know, it takes for these incredibly brave men and women to get back at it, and that warrior spirit. I really have been spreading the word, so we have a bunch of people coming. Really excited.
Oh, that's great.
And, we're going to be all wearing our Rags of Honor gear, so you'll know, to hit the paddles on us first. That'd be great.
Well, fantastic. Thank you, Kip. Sorry we bothered you this morning, but we needed to get to the dependable part of your family. You.
Well, we'll see you out there, guys. Thanks so much.
All right, there you
Bye,
go.
Bye, Kip.
That's Kip, Mark Doyle's wife.
I'm going to do it.
We love Kip.
She's fantastic. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
We love Mark, too.
Yeah, not as much as Kip, but
no,
yeah.
No, not as much.
But this is such a coup for Chicago to get the games. And if you want to see something inspirational, go.
Oh,
watch
yeah.
an event. You'll stay for 2 and 3, but just go watch an event.
We're talking to RJ during the break, and this is the part where I get to ask him stupid questions. As a wheelchair athlete, we were talking about wheelchair tennis, because I had heard about wheelchair tennis after the games in London. And, of course, it's a thing, but most people don't think of it the same way you think of wheelchair basketball and other things we see more often. So the only difference is you get 2 bounces. Other than that, go get it and hit it.
That's right.
First time you played, how bad were you?
Actually, I wasn't bad. The first game.
Look at you.
I did really
Look
well.
Look at you. Look at you. Did you play tennis at all growing up?
Just a little bit with my dad, but, I played basketball, baseball, and football.
You have been an athlete in these games. In what sports? Just off the top of your head.
Basketball, shooting, track.
And obviously tennis.
And tennis also.
Tennis. What's the number one skill? You got to get your chair in the right position, right? You got to anticipate where the ball's going to come in?
It's all about anticipation. You got to read where the ball's going, and you want to get there before it does. So it's like I consider it like a chess.
If we played one game and you spotted me,
oh no,
and you spotted me 40 love, how bad would you beat me?
I definitely wouldn't let you score again.
Yeah, see? No offense, Steve. My money would be all on RJ.
Let me tell you something. You dial the clock back 25 years, and it would take him one extra point to beat me.
Yeah.
That's my point. Jerry Hannigan's here, the Park District, and the Polar Plunge this weekend. Where's the money go again?
The money, 100% of the money goes back to our Chicago Special Olympics program that we lead through the Chicago Park District. So we serve the whole city. With Chicago Public Schools, we have currently over 6,800 active athletes.
Yeah, and we every year are happy to welcome them here on the show. We've met a lot of them, and I have a special needs brother who never got to compete, but it's such a great organization, wonderful thing, and it's great that the city supports it the way it does.
Absolutely.
And then bring it all the way home to the Warrior Games, DODWarriorGames.com. Any more room for corporate sponsors if they want in?
There are, definitely. And there's information on the website for that. And or they can call in and talk to Mary and get my information as well. And okay. I can share it personally.
And again, the dates for the games will be when?
June 30th to July 8th.
All throughout
Chicago.
But basically from Navy Pier to?
Yep. Navy Pier to United Center to up to Lane Tech for track.
Perfect.
It's going to be fun.
So.
And RJ, you're going to be out there heckling the boys?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I really do enjoy being around the guys. And, you know, it's a great group of guys to be around. And
you like coaching some of the guys that haven't done it before? Mentoring them and stuff?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, it just spring loads on to do other things with themselves and just do greater things, you know, than they didn't even, that they knew they could do. So.
Sure. Well, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
By mentoring, you mean heckling his friends, of course, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. You can't get that?
Okay. I bet he shows a lot more energy out when he's actually competing. He seems like a very
calm guy.
He's
cool. Laid back. He's cool. Yeah,
exactly. He gets to it.
Yeah, I'll tell you a quick story. There was there's an organization I help every year called the Illinois Patriot Education Fund with a great guy named Mark Slaby. And there's a hole-in-one contest, and one of the wounded warriors had one leg. And it was a little tough to have balance, and he shanked a ball into the water. And I was emceeing the hole-in-one contest, and from, like, behind me and to the left, I hear somebody go, "You suck!" So I'm going to turn around and go, "How dare you?" Well, I turn around, and it's a guy with no legs. Heckling his buddy with one leg. You know? Yeah? You got to give it up. You got to give it to these guys, right?
You got to. Got to give each other's crap.
Well, I love your smile. I love your attitude. And I love what you've done for the country and what you continue to do.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world.
Some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you.
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, Hollywood. You know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, Hollywood. Well, kiss me good.
A lot of excitement. The Stevies, the most important morning in show business, happening at 9 o'clock live on CLTV. Are we doing the purple thing today, Sabre? Yes? No? Yes? All right, so if you can see the purple after 9 o'clock on CLTV, wait for the cat to roar in the middle of the Stevies and be the seventh caller to win.
How's that?
The cat roars. Listen, here's Dave doing a roaring cat. Dave, go.
Mike, don't you have it?
No, you do it. Dave's cat has acid reflux.
I've never been able to really do a roar.
So when you hear the wildcat roar, be the seventh caller after 9. Hi, Dean. How are you?
I'm fine. Digesting the Dancing with the Stars news.
Yeah, and David Ross, Chicago Cub.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, nice for him.
Yeah.
Nice for him. It's the show. I mean, a lot of people I know still watch the show, but
I watch it.
It's not like it was at one time.
Not like the old days. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. When you had
the good B-lister.
Had a Donny Osmond, Marie Osmond.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's go through the cast here. Simone Biles is on, and this is upsetting Mary Vandeveld very much. Why? It is.
Because I am tired of the gymnasts, because they're going to be good. They've been dance trained. They're very athletic. They can do all the fun flips and
she's saying
everything.
It's fixed.
They can throw them around.
It's fixed. The cheating's on. The fix
it's,
is in.
I don't know.
When's
it's
the last time
rip.
An Olympic star won, though?
Last
season.
Time.
There you go. There's the proof.
Yeah.
The other gymnast.
I rest
what was her
my
name?
Your Honor. I rest my case.
Professional.
Lori Hernandez.
Lori Hernandez. I totally forgot.
Professional bull rider Bonner Bolton, which by the way is my real name. Bonner,
and you
Bolton,
are in your own way a bull rider.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. From 6 to 10, the bull eye rider on here is unbelievable.
Here's my favorite. Next, Charo.
Coochie
coo. Wow.
And she is still alive.
Yes, coochie Charo is in. Chris Kattan is in.
Former SNLer.
Seems kind of odd. David Ross, as we mentioned. Dance club musician and Real Housewives of Beverly Hills star Erica Jane. Do we know this woman?
No, not really.
I know of her on the show. I don't really watch that, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, neither do I. Glee actress, whose name I've forgotten already and I can't read it off.
Heather Morris.
Heather Morris.
Do
we like her?
Yeah, we like her.
Oh, she's a really good dancer.
Oh, my God.
She is.
She's a Beyonce backup dancer, for
Britney.
Heaven's sake.
Yeah, wasn't she Britney
Spears? Spears.
Oh, that's another rig. That's
phenomenal.
That's
yes, I know.
She was. No,
when's the last
John
time?
DeCoste know this.
I like Glee. I love those.
Me too.
Yeah.
I'm a Gleek. Yeah.
That was good. Yeah, Jane Lynch.
I got to stop. I got to stop.
When's the last time a Beyonce dancer won this?
Well, another Glee person won that one season, right, Andrea? Do you remember her?
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember her name, but yeah, she did win.
Leah Michelle?
I don't know, but this is great for the audience as you two try to figure out what you're thinking.
Nancy Kerrigan's going to. She's
why?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like they actually are choreographing the recreation of that.
How great would that be if
Nancy Kerrigan gets blackjacked in the knee?
By what's her name?
Oh, yeah.
Tanya Harding.
Well, don't they have guest judges on? They should have Tanya Harding on the first week with Nancy Kerrigan.
That'd be so great.
David Ross might have a bat around. Ooh.
No, that's true. You've got to keep it away from him.
This is bad.
Mr. T.
Mr. T is going to be on.
Yeah, that's right. I know. He'll be on.
Dancing with Kim Johnson, too.
Did Vic Tayback make the cut?
Still dead.
Still dead.
Yep, still dead. Mel. Still dead. Vic Tayback was going to dance with Abe Vigoda, so you can imagine the sadness in that dressing room. And somebody from Fifth Harmony named Normani Cordae.
Yeah, she can dance, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Rashad
and she's
Jennings.
With Vail. Yeah.
Who'd Rashad Jennings play for, Dave?
Free agent.
By the way, if you need information, do not come to this show because we have none of it.
You know, though, in our defense, aside from Mr. T and maybe the girl from Glee, these are kind of D-listers, right, Dean? I mean, they're not.
Charo? Are you kidding?
Actually, I think this list is better than most now that I'm looking
at it.
And
David
Ross. The Bachelor.
Sorry,
Nick, the Bachelor.
Oh, gosh. Okay. You know, The Bachelor this season is awful, I'll have to say. And Nick,
I'm going to have to take your word for that.
Yeah, I've been watching,
I'm not watching.
First of all, he's married.
No, he's not.
That really ruins it for a lot of people.
I don't know what's going to happen. There's only one more Bachelor, one or two, I think, two more Bachelors.
So
but he's not really rocking it this season. So.
And Dean, I know you've heard, it is Dean, isn't it? Dean, you've heard the rumor, I'm sure, that The Bachelor may not pick any of the women.
What?
Don't.
Well, he better not pick PETA, who he's dancing with, because that'll make Mr. Max.
Oh, PETA's not on the show.
I'm amazed.
PETA's
how much
in the show now. She's going to be dancing.
She's
with
on
Nick.
Bachelor.
No, she's going to dance.
Isn't Nick the current Bachelor?
Yes, he is.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking
but
about.
But PETA Murgatroyd Schmurkowski.
Well, I get that, but try to do the show I'm doing until we get back to yours.
What?
I'm amazed at how much TV Mary is able to watch.
Really? When do you watch TV?
What
you go
do
to
you
bed
mean?
The same time we go to bed.
I just watch it whenever I can. I don't really watch it that much.
You do.
So you say.
You do.
Yeah, I do.
We're
God
just
bless you. I wish I did.
40 minutes short of the Stevies. There's a lot of excitement here. We're waiting for Faye Dunaway to show up.
All the accountants are backstage and mixing up all the envelopes right now.
Yep. Yeah, they played 52 pickup, but we don't even have that many awards.
Yeah, 52 pickup, but they only found 50 of the envelopes.
Exactly, so. Just the way it should be. We've already awarded one Stevie to Jane Lynch for Best In-Studio Guest.
Oh, nice.
She was on earlier
today.
She
was very happy.
She was nice.
The Stevie Awards coming up. And also, when we come back, Dean will tell you, A-listers coming to the Polar Plunge. Bruce the Governor meets Chance the Rapper today. And again, Chance the Rapper's brother, Tom the Trombone Player, will not be at that meeting. Rob Lowe's tribute to Bill Paxton. This Gary from Chicago story gets weirder. And Oscar movies coming to your DVD if you can actually find the remote, because I can't find mine.
I will pay pretty much any money for Governor Rauner to show up at this meeting today with the baseball cap on.
Sideways.
And wearing chains and only speaking in rap talk.
And like doing a 90s Buffalo stance because he thinks it's still cool.
Dropping his G's already than he already does.
Chance wears the hat with the number 3. Rauner could wear the hat with the number 2 because we're going with 2 years without a budget.
Cool.
Nice. They can kind of sync their clothes.
That's cool.
Nice.
Yeah. Ice Madigan going to be there?
I don't know. Is Madigan?
Oh, no, apparently not. You'll be calling his name. Dean Richer, the entertainment editor. Channel 972. Mr. T is being interviewed on Good Morning America right now, and he said, and I quote, "You know, I live in the same building as Angela." He thinks Andrea's name is Angela.
That's true.
Dean rejoins us from Channel 9.
Is there a category in the Stevies of a show with the most things that don't make any sense?
Wee wee.
I know we've set the bar pretty high, but
yeah, we have. I mean, that's seems, a lot. That seems like that, everything would be nominated.
Seems like
every time we all crack the mics. Seems by like the way, we may need to get a hold of you in the 9 o'clock hour because one of the categories is best impressions.
Oh.
And you and I doing our French guys and the Kim Kardashian robbery.
Right.
That's one of the nominees.
Award
so you
winning.
May need to be available.
Just let me know when. I only have one thing to do in the 9 o'clock hour on TV.
I'm told Chance the Rapper and the governor's meeting is postponed. Is that right?
Well, I think because of the tornadoes. And yeah. So, I think they've postponed that.
Well, H to the hizzy. We'll see if it's rescheduled sometime soon. What's the Rob Lowe story?
Rob Lowe published a really, really beautiful essay in tribute to his friend Bill Paxton, who died over the weekend, complications of surgery. I didn't know that they were as close of friends as they were, but among what Rob Lowe wrote was, "The first time I took my kids fishing was with Bill and his son. Now, 20 years later, my son still fishes every weekend, and that's because of Bill, who was a really solid man who built a life not completely centered around the business, despite the fact that he grew up in it. Said Bill was the most loyal, old-school friend who showed up for every single occasion, no matter how small. He says, there will be no replacement for me of Bill Paxton."
Wow.
Really, really sweet.
Very nice.
Really sweet. Worth taking a look at today.
Some of the Oscar movies are coming to DVD. Now, here's my problem, Dean. My DVD player, I lost my remote. So I can't operate my DVD player, even with a universal remote. There's no cooperation. So I can't operate my DVD player to see the Oscar movies.
Would you like me to contact the studios and see if I can get you VHS copies of some of these movies?
Can I get them on 8-track?
I can see if they might still be making those. But Moonlight just came
Friday.
What's that, Summer?
Steve Shapiro will be in on Friday from App.
Oh,
so.
they have everything there.
Oh, that's good.
If anyone has
DVD
it,
players,
do.
Don't you get those with like a Philip now?
They're not expensive
like
anymore.
Like you fill up your car with gas, they throw a DVD player in your
if
trunk?
If you lost the remote, I'm going to say just go buy a new DVD Blu-ray player. They're like $29.
It's probably the best
they're
one
nothing
you
now. Yeah. Moonlight came out this past Tuesday, the so-called best movie of the year. March 7th, it's going to be Jackie and Moana.
By the way, there's a great rumor out of the White House. You ready for this?
Yes.
Steve Bannon, Darth Vader of the Trump administration.
Yes.
Has a lot of interest in Hollywood, makes a lot of money off Seinfeld and other things, so he keeps an eye on Hollywood. Steve Bannon really, really, really did not want, and we don't know why, did not want Moonlight to win. Moonlight won, and he broke a chair. In one of the rooms, like really? He threw a chair and broke it.
Really?
Yeah. And it's just a rumor, but it's a good one. That's a really good rumor.
Fake news. That's so March 7th is Jackie and Moana. March 14th, the Denzel Washington and Viola Davis movie Fences,
right,
will be out, and the French language film
Ooh La La
Elle with Isabelle Huppert.
Oh, yeah, Isabelle Poopy Pants.
Yeah, she was nominated. That's going to be March 14th. On the 28th.
What else is March 14th?
Those are the two big Oscars.
No, March 14th is my birthday.
Oscar movies. And as everyone in the home video industry knows, Steve's birthday.
Yeah. So, that's why they're releasing the French movie on that day.
Every movie that you rent that day, instead of that FBI warning, there'll be a picture of Steve's head warning you against home piracy.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
On the 28th, Hidden Figures, the NASA movie, is going to be out, which is great.
That is great. And they're doing a Lego line. This is just announced yesterday. They're doing a Lego line of women from NASA from that era for kids to play. That's a cool thing.
Very cool.
That is very cool. April 19th, Lion is going to be out, that charming, lovely little movie that should have gotten a lot more attention but didn't. And then they haven't released an exact date in May, but sometime in May, the almost best picture of the year, La La Land, will be out on DVD.
Well, it was for a couple seconds.
And Blu-ray. It was for three acceptance speeches, so something like that.
All right, so Gary from Chicago was a pretty good bit that's gone very dark now. What do we know?
Well, this is the guy that was part of that Hollywood tour bus that they brought into the Oscars, you know, thinking that they were going to see one thing, not knowing they were going to wind up on the Oscars and meeting A-listers. And the one guy that Jimmy Kimmel talked to, this guy Gary from Chicago, who was, just charming and taking pictures with people and holding their Oscars and so forth. Turns out that he said, I'm Gary from Chicago. has not actually lived in Chicago for 25 years.
And why is that, Dean?
That's because for the last 20 years, he's been in a California prison and was just released from the prison 3 days before the Oscars.
But how did he meet this woman that he was marrying?
Well, they both are born again, mm-hmm. and they met each other, and it's they just have a lovely relationship.
Oh, I was setting you up for the story. I heard that the fiance was in prison as well.
Oh, I had not heard.
Is that true?
I think she was, and she was released, but she started writing to him.
Okay,
allegedly.
I had not heard the Vicky in prison part of the story.
I am Vicky from prison.
Fake news.
John?
Yes, this just in, they're both on Dancing with the Stars.
Did not know that.
That would have been awesome.
Awkward.
That would have been awesome. But anyway, Gary apparently, says that he's cleaned up his life, and most of these things that he's done, petty theft, grand theft, shoplifting, burglary, and not joking about a 1978 conviction for attempted rape.
Yikes.
In his past, he says he wants to get on with his life with his fiance, and so that's that. It's not exactly the cutesy, funny little story that we all thought.
We hope for the best for everyone.
Yes, we do.
Well, most people. Stand by for a phone call if you're a winner of the Stevies after nine.
Can't wait.
Very, nice of you to pretend you're
very
interested.
Excited. I'll try not to be in the ladies' room. Oh, wait. Why would I be in there? It's weird. It
does seem odd. We'll come back with the big story next on 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Loyal means business. Comcast Sportsnet.
Want to get a quick assessment of the Johnny Oduya return from a guy who is so close to the Blackhawks, he smells like their gear after an overtime thriller. Ooh. Yeah, Pat Boyle. I mean, he's a handsome devil. But ooh, don't get downwind. You know what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
Here's our friend Pat Boyle from Comcast Sportsnet. Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic, Steve. How are you doing?
Thanks for getting up.
Well, thanks for having me on ahead of the Stevies. I mean, I was already up looking for red carpet coverage.
It's exciting. It's exciting.
On CLTV. Is there a category for best wedding you weren't invited to this year? Is that
We had to throw out so many categories for your wife and most of those, by the way, are going to go as part of a Rorschach blot test for the therapist that you'll clearly be hiring sometime soon. All right, Oduya's coming back. What do you think?
I love it. I love it. They've been looking for his replacement since he left after the 2015 Stanley Cup. They have not found him to date. And, by the way, they found him last night, and they reacquired him. And they did it for a very low cost. If you take a look at the trade deadline deals over the last 48 to 72 hours, almost every one of them had a first or second rounder, a top prospect involved. The Blackhawks gave up a fourth-round conditional pick that if they get to the Western Conference Finals, it becomes a third-rounder. And they gave up a player in Mark McNeil who, had been in Rockford for 4 years and had been passed over several times and wasn't in their long-term plan. So very, very low risk for the Blackhawks. They bring Johnny back. Johnny's dealt with some issues injury-wise this year. But look, he was a staple with Nick Jalmerson as a defensive pairing. You could see Keith and Seabrook go back together. The band's back together, Steve. I like it. I like it a lot.
And is this a rent-a-player scenario where he's here for the run, however deep it goes?
That's correct. Johnny's contract is up at the end of the year. So, when you were looking at possible players that Stan Bowman would go after, they had to be rental players. They had to be players that would not affect their salary cap going down the road next year. And Johnny's contract was going to be up. So they were able to work the deal out with Dallas taking, half of his remaining contract this season. So it's a perfect fit. And, he joins a team that, let's be honest, is coming off, their best month and a half in recent memory. I mean, you were at the game on Sunday.
Right.
They're flying up and down the ice. They're getting production from all four lines. The goaltending has been there when it needs to be. And all systems look good here, the final 20 games as we get ready for what hopefully is another long cup run.
And Dave, one question from you for Mr. I don't know, Pat, are you taking questions from Dave?
Absolutely.
All right, so Dave, one question for you.
Thanks, Pat. So the Blackhawks also, and this obviously gets overshadowed by the Oduya deal, but yesterday they re-signed Michael Roosevelt and Jordan Tutu. But what people have forgotten is that they've got this expansion draft they're going to have to deal with this coming off season to stock the new Las Vegas franchise. And so this is a positive move for them from that standpoint, isn't it?
Yeah, Dave, this basically was an accounting move for the expansion draft that's coming up this summer for the new Vegas team. There's a certain number of players that you need to leave exposed for the Vegas team to basically have an opportunity to take one of your players. And they want to protect a guy like, say, Ryan Hartman. So what they did was they signed Jordan Tutu and Roosevelt to contracts. They will expose them and hope that, you know, Vegas would take them over, say, a promising player like Ryan Hartman, who has, you know, a bright future with this team.
How many guys, I don't know if this is off the top of my head, maybe you guys do or don't, but how many guys do you get to protect?
Well, it's somewhat complicated. You have to protect everybody that has a no movement clause, which right. happens to be most of the Blackhawks. So they get they all get protected, and I believe it's 7 skaters and 2 goalies. Yeah. You get to protect beyond that. So, and there's criteria for that as well. So it's a bit complicated. The most you can lose is one player.
Yeah.
So
you also have to protect one morning host.
Yes, and we know who that's going to be.
Yes, Eric.
It rhymes. It rhymes with Mockrin.
Good call by you. Hey, what are you wearing?
Okay, it just got super weird.
Well, I'm wearing my, as I always, my Blackhawks pajamas, yeah. as I always wear. Yeah.
Sandberg.
Game day. It's game day. I always wear my Blackhawks pajamas.
Sandberg, is he
day.
Telling the truth? This is your husband. Is that what he's wearing?
I believe he's wearing Tommy John's right now.
That is correct.
Maybe a Michigan correct. State t-shirt. Maybe.
No, wearing my NU, my Wildcats. Go Cats tonight.
Attaboy.
Get a victory. Take care of those jerks from Ann Arbor.
Oh, ah, there you go. There you go. Spoken like a Michigan State
it
man.
Takes.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. That's Pat Boyle, Comcast Sportsnet. We're back with Steve Burness of the Better Business Bureau in just a second. As you know, my theory is Steve is the one stealing all the money. But we believe that Steve is here to help you. And Steve will tell you what the latest scams are and things you ought to be aware of, especially during tax season.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Steve Burness trying to save us from ourselves at the Better Business Bureau. If anyone has a question about a business, what do?
They call the Better Business Bureau, and hopefully they'll call us ahead of time instead of after, because we can help them before. Sometimes it's very hard to help them after when the money's gone and taken.
But if you've been scammed, the best thing you could do to pay it forward is to let you know so that you can get the word out so other people don't get victimized.
Exactly. Let us know. File a complaint. File a customer review with us. And we can actually, our reports are updated then to include this information. And then we rate companies from A+ to F. And that's how we develop our report, based upon the complaints and information brought to our attention.
And if there has been any complaint against a company, it'll show up on their BBB report?
It'll show up on their BBB report, and the consumer can read it, too, to see what it entails.
So we go to the website and just search the company's name?
Exactly, BBB.org.
Okay, and how do we get to your office? Is it the
Northern Illinois, so it's that /Chicago. So it's BBB.org /Chicago, or go up to that site and put in your zip code.
Give me a couple tax scams.
Well, right now we're having a lot of consumers calling us saying that they're trying to file their taxes and somebody else has already filed for them. So
yeah, how about that?
You got to be very, very careful. Obviously, you got to protect your identity, but sometimes you can't help it. So we're seeing an increase in those types of scams where somebody already filed your return. And we're still getting IRS impersonators, where they're calling you up and demanding payment. And now what they're doing, they're saying they can help you with your tax forms, just call us up, and they're actually scammers. So you got to be very careful. The IRS does not call you
ever
out of the blue, and especially demanding payment. What we call the tip-off to the rip-off, is that when you demand payment in 30 minutes, the only thing you should be demanding in 30 minutes is a pizza, and that's about it.
Yeah, right. Is it okay to e-file? I mean, I know when you're my accountant e-files mine, but if people are doing TurboTax or doing it on their own, is it okay to e-file?
Yeah, it is okay to e-file, exactly. Make sure you're using a reputable service, of course, and e-filing is fine and it's protected. Is this when you start divulging your information to third parties and scammers and giving them information? That's when you got to be very careful of.
You might not get your state refund soon or ever.
Right.
What's the can you hear me scam?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Basically, the people are calling up and they're basically just saying, can you hear me? And when you answer yes, and they hang up and they're recording your name or recording your the way you're saying yes, and then they'll use it against you maybe in the future.
Oh, they use it as prompts.
A prompt.
Voice prompts.
Voice prompts.
So someone will say, oh, wait, hold on, let me adjust my headset. So you think it's an actual call because there's a human being there.
Right.
And then she'll say, oh, can you hear me okay? And by the time you say yes, you're already scammed.
So if somebody says, can you hear me?
Just don't say anything. Just hang up.
I like to do this.
That'll cause them to hang up. Yeah. Yeah, so it's really, everybody's getting these calls. We're not sure what the extent of the scams will be down there in the future. But what is going to happen, they're going to say, you ordered something, and here we have your recording where you say yes. So you got to be very, very careful. And obviously, your caller ID, you don't believe it because scammers can change that quickly and easily. It's called caller ID spoofing. So if your caller ID says IRS, does not mean it's the IRS calling
you. Getting a lot of emails lately, too. I mean, just different scams saying this is your credit card company. And it might actually be your credit card company, but
right,
don't respond.
Yeah, well, basically, what we suggest you do is never follow a link in an email. So if it's your credit card company, go to the credit card company yourself directly. What we call that is phishing, and that's how people get taken, usually advantage of, because when you click on a link, you never know where it's going. It can lead to spam and malware and ransomware. We're seeing an increase in ransomware is when they lock your computer up and they force you to pay them in order to unlock your computer. And it works. Trust me. We had a police department in South Suburbs who had to pay the ransomware last year. So it's happening to police department, government agencies. It's going to happen to consumers. Just get that the protection for your virus protection for your systems and update it. So many times people put that virus protection on your system and will not update it, and that's so important.
John, you had a question? No. Oh, I thought you had a question first.
No.
No.
John,
no.
Are you involved in any sort of scams?
I do call a lot of people.
Just to say hi?
I just say hi.
John, can you hear us?
What?
Can you hear us?
What?
There is a there's a major question about drug prices, and people like Bernie Sanders would like us to be able to buy drugs from Canada. It would seem that buying drugs on the internet could be a problem. How do you know you're dealing with reputable people, and what's going on in this area?
So basically, you got to make sure you're dealing with a reputable source and that they're licensed to operate. Recently, the Better Business Bureau and the National Association of the Boards of Pharmacy issued a release, and we're basically 4% of the 11,000 websites reviewed are selling prescriptions safely. 4% of 11,000 websites.
That's not great.
That's not good at all. So it means you have a lot of rogue sites out there who are taking advantage of consumers, and they can be anywhere in the world and make it look like they're a great company in Illinois or in the U.S. But so be very, very careful. Deal with companies you know and trust, and we suggest deal with the ones that are dot pharmacy. And actually, you can go to the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy and get some more information on buying online. But so many times, seniors go online to buy cheap drugs. And prescriptions, rather. And unfortunately, you have a lot of rogue participants out there as well. And if you can buy a prescription without an actual prescription from a doctor, you know something's wrong with that website.
And dot pharmacy is the extension we need to look for?
Yeah, dot pharmacy as well. That's the National Association of Boards of Pharmacy. That's the ones they utilize. And they scrutinize them as well, make certain that they're licensed as well. Again, only 4% of the 11,000 they recently reviewed were in compliance with laws and standards.
Yeah, if the website you're using to buy drugs is Yo Theotis, it's probably not going to be one that's going to be beneficial to you in the long run.
Exactly. It can harm you financially and you know your health, too, as well. So they can actually steal your identity then. They have a lot of information about you, and you give them your credit card information. But the drugs may have stuff in there that's not good for you and can harm you.
The Stevie Awards are coming up next. Steve, I know you'll be around to watch all the action, but in the meantime, anything we need from you, we go where?
BBB.org. Before you buy or hire, BBB it.
Nice job. Steve Burness, saving us from us. News next, 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Showcase Studio, this is the Steve Cochran Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This is the reason that we do the morning show today, the Stevies today. The Stevies, we can't believe another year has quickly passed us by.
We can't begin to put a monetary price on this here's Stevie's, on this here's Stevie's. The last one sold under a buck at auction on eBay. It's so hard to feel a rush from something so meaningless. But it's that time again, just to see who wins. The Stevie in year 17. I'm on the edge of my seat, hoping that I'll never take home the prize. I'm on the edge of my bed, can't get Cochran's forehead out of my eyes. I'm on the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge, the edge. I'm on the edge of my seat, the shortest distance I can bolt to the door. Damn, my feet just slipped on the floor.
I didn't get any better than that. John DeCoste, musical director, putting together our huge montage to open this year's Stevie's. Allow me to introduce everyone. Upstairs on the seventh floor, Steve Grzanich and Mary Vandeveld. Both will come up later in the Stevie's. Are you too excited?
Very excited.
You need to get out more.
Yeah.
Andrea Darlis here in studio, of course, looking lovely.
Thank you, Steve.
Who you're wearing?
I'm wearing the Macy's shirt with the Stitch Fix jacket and a little bit of diamond bling in my necklace for the Stevie's today.
All right. In the production room, we, of course, have Sandberg and Mike, who never wanted to do this in the first place. Great to have you guys here. Very excited. Mike is right now working on his resume. And Dave, looking great. Dave has just had a wardrobe change. Dave, who are you wearing?
Hugo Boss?
Calvin Klein.
Calvin Klein tuxedo.
Beautiful.
Nice, Dave.
Custom, right? Or is it back by midnight?
It's 5 o'clock.
Five.
Nice. Well, it's a morning show.
It costs $1,000.
Yes. Staying up to midnight.
Yeah. It looks fantastic, and thanks for asking.
Oh,
I'm
Steve.
Wearing.
Yes. Yes,
I'm
Steve.
Wearing a velvet dinner jacket, a brown. Well, you can touch it.
So soft.
It's a velvety jacket. Yes, I would say it's dark brown with a little bit of black.
With formal black shirt and black pants.
When was the last time you wore that?
Very nice.
A few days ago. Yeah. And we're all ready to go for the Stevie's. John is so far. John DeCoste is the only audience member that's shown up to see the Stevie's. John, are you excited?
I can't. I'm nervous. Just let it happen.
Feel free to sit up front. There's plenty of room.
Okay.
All right. So let's go with award number one. This is exciting. This award for the Stevie's. Let's bring out the present. Oh, I'm presenting all of them, aren't I?
Yes. Oh.
Could you see what's in my swag bag since I'm doing all the presentations?
Are you going to screw up?
Let me check out the swag bag.
Not any more than normal.
You have a. Do you want me to tell you what's in your swag bag or for later?
Save it for later. Yeah. Yes. The category is Best Rami. Best Rami achievement in Steve Cochran show during the year for appearances by Rahm Emanuel. You know, many media outlets won't even have Rahm on the air. He won't do their shows. He's on with us quite often. And over the course of this year, he rode bikes with you in studio.
Yes.
Tell me how that went.
Oh, it went fantastic. We didn't take our outside bike tour. It got too cold. It was rescheduled for this summer. But in the meantime, we did a quick tour of the neighborhoods in studio on the stationary bikes.
I was not here for that. Dave, were you here?
I was not here.
We both missed the bike event, but
I was there.
It was great.
That was great.
It was a good time.
And also nominated for Best Rami, Rahm bringing us kale shakes from his wife, Amy. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the first award.
You're not supposed to rip it. Oh, you're just opening it.
There we go.
Best Rami, and the winner is Rahm Emanuel bringing us kale shakes from his wife. Woo! Let's listen.
We not only have a bag of spinach from the garden.
Okay.
Okay. You're about to drink. Now get that close to your lips.
Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
It has protein powder.
Protein powder.
Okay. Goji berries.
Goji berries.
Maca.
Sure. Maca. Mm-hmm.
Cocoa nibs.
Okay.
Flax and chia seed.
Right.
MCT oil.
Uh-huh.
Spinach and kale. Beet and various fruits. And the spinach and kale is from our garden. I'm telling you.
What you don't have here.
Because when I do this, I put my back to her and I drink it near the sink. Really? And so you have to know. I'm you know what?
Can I ask you?
Mi casa, su casa. Okay? I'm all in, baby.
Again, that's Rahm Emanuel, winner of the Best Rami. We will get that over to his office. Let's go to John DeCosta in the audience. John, how do you feel?
Oh, I'm so excited. I thought it was going to go to Blandick and the Diet Pepsi, but this is awesome.
This is big. Congratulations, Rahm Emanuel, winner of the first Stevie Award for Best Rami. Now, if you're trying to watch on CLTV, they rightfully have a big news event on now. They're showing the press conference from the tornadoes, the devastating tornadoes last night. We don't know when they'll rejoin us, but you can see Dave's wardrobe change and my delightful dinner jacket and your ensemble.
My bling.
Plus your bling. All on the WGNRadio.com button where you click watch.
Yes.
Okay?
Good stuff.
Shall we go to the second award?
Yes.
The second award is a big one. Mm. It is a very, very big one. The second award is Best Staff Impression. Again, these are Stevie Awards over the course of 2016 and part of 2017. What staff impression stood out more than any other staff impression? Could have been a news story. Mm. Could have been mocking someone on the staff. Could have been any of those.
These are not the impressions we do of you behind your back.
No.
And, you know, as a member of the Academy, the Voting Academy, this was a very easy decision.
You thought so?
I did. Yeah, I did. Yeah, very easy.
I don't know. I think the French accents that you and Dean
do. Those are
very, very convincing. I feel like I'm in Paris.
But they're not imitating anyone on the staff.
Right.
It's funny you say, well, staff impressions meaning done by staff.
Right. Oh, gotcha. Right.
Okay. And it's funny you mentioned that Dean and Steve do French accents impression. Let's roll it.
Merci beaucoup, Monsieur Petit.
When I don't know any word in French, and by the way, I don't, I just make this noise.
Steve, we care about the environment. We may be robbers, but we are green.
Philippe, where is my Schwinn?
I cannot find my helmet, Pierre.
Run where there's time before the bicyclists come back and take more things.
Do not know this man next to me talking in the accent.
Does anyone want to ride on my banana seat?
Let me offer to you a French fry while you wait for the investigation.
Croissant! Run with me, croissant!
Can you see the burglars stopping for wine and cheese? It's just all so
We
French.
Must hop on your bicycle. We must leave immediately. Oh, wait. There's a coffee shop.
Of the nominees.
Is it any wonder why the French hate us?
No, not at all. And we also had me doing Coach John Fox.
That was very funny.
Do we have a clip of that?
All right.
You guys got any questions? See you next year.
How about a question from Adam Hogue?
Right.
Ready for what?
No.
Our Xfinity Blackhawks report, a little roster shuffling.
Did you guys see we won 3?
Spencer Abbott.
You know, it's all a problem. It's not good. It's not good, really.
See you next year.
Down. I wish we'd won more, but, you know, we won 3. I mean, 4 would have been better. You know, I can't tell
which one's on.
This is good. We should do Steve.
I just
or Fox.
Is it Steve or is it Fox?
I don't know. I just,
you know, I think I
was just thinking.
You know, it's all a problem.
It's just not good. It's no good.
It has to be the way.
Hoping that get a quarterback in here that might be able to win.
Well, no kidding.
It's uncanny.
Yeah. Thanks.
It's Coach John Fox talking to me doing Coach John Fox. That's nominee number 2. Nominee number 3, Mary Vandeveld's impression done by Mike as Mike does Mary Vandeveld's conscience.
I mean, this is unbelievable. Why didn't I get to go first? You get the French guys out there, and then you throw out John Fox. It's unfair competition.
I don't know who you think's going to win, but let's go to the envelope.
It's obvious who should win.
And the winner is... Well, this is a shock.
I mean, we don't got all day here. We're already 5 minutes late to traffic.
The winner is Mike doing Mary Vandeveld's impression.
Bravo.
Oh, so wait,
that is tremendous.
Do I still get the award because that's my subconscious?
That's tremendous.
No.
Do you have the award that you can hold up? Hold up to one of our cameras.
You have to split the award.
There you go.
Any of our
Stevie.
Cameras.
Because we have a split personality.
We actually haven't printed the certificates yet, so we have a Stevie Award with a laughing, crying emoji. Done in blue highlighter.
Oh, that's
because
beautiful.
Because we spare no expense.
Could you at least frame it?
We could, but we're not going to. So let's go to Mike doing Mary Vandeveld for his acceptance speech for this Stevie Award.
Well, it's okay, I guess. I mean, I just want to do my traffic on time. That's all I want to do, but then you had to do this. I had Steve last night burnt dinner. So I'm sitting there, we're trying to watch Dancing with the Stars, and he's yelling at me, the toast is burning. I said, why are you making toast for dinner anyway? What is this, breakfast? And then what is this?
Sit down, please stop.
Wait,
don't talk.
What is this?
Shut
That's
up.
Right.
You're done, move on.
Who's this jerk?
Dear God, just get us back to the show.
We are playing off Mary's conscience, and we'll be back with more Stevie Awards 2017. Live from the Showcase Studio, the Allstate Showcase Studio at 720 WGN. We're back live at the Allstate Showcase Studio as the Stevie Awards continue. Moments of excellence and mediocrity from the Steve Cochran Show in the last year. We've put together these nominations over the course of, the last few days when we thought about it, that it was time to do this. And it's come together just as you would expect anything slapped together to come together. It's just that good. Again, for those of you who'd like to see the video presentation of this, and why wouldn't you, go to WGNradio.com. CLTV continues to appropriately handle the tornado aftermath press conference. Meanwhile, we continue with the Stevies here. And at some point in the hour, you'll hear the Wildcat Roar be the seventh caller and tell me where the purple is in studio. And you will be a big winner as well. Tonight's Northwestern game, Dave, is where?
It is in Evanston.
Mm-hmm. And will you wear the tuxedo?
I will not wear the tuxedo tonight. I don't think that it... I want to feel comfortable.
Okay.
You know, will it's a little stuffy.
A little too formal.
It's the wrong vibe.
Okay, I understand. But tonight they play...
They play the Michigan Wolverines, 6 o'clock, and you can hear the game on AM 1160 because we've got the Blackhawks.
All right, and we'll stream it as well.
WGNradio.com, your WGN app, and your dental work.
Go Cats.
All right, next up on the Stevie Awards, very exciting. But first, let me check with our only audience member, John DeCoss. Are you comfortable?
I'm very comfortable. This is awesome. Oh, this is, I'm so excited.
All right. This category is most likely to need cholesterol medication. There's only one nominee, and it's Steve Grzanich.
How
Let's
is there only one nominee?
What a shock! Steve Grzanich is a big, big winner.
It's the skinny people you really have to worry about.
Let me go to Mike Jacobson on this. Mike, as you went through the various audio cuts from the last year, how many references for Steve did you find of food?
37.
37 references.
Wow. And those are the only ones noted.
And those are the only times he was on the show outside of doing the news.
I texted you your Stevie, Steve.
Thank you very much. I just want to say it's great being the best of almost good enough. So.
Yes, what you said. Absolutely. Yes, that's exactly right. And, Andre, you think about the year that we've had with the election. You were traveling all over the country, recovering very important, very serious events. And now it's come down to the Stevie Awards. It's the type of thing to make you get out of the business.
It's true. A little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Let's go to one of our favorite awards this year. You know, we just passed the one-year anniversary of Jake and Sandberg being on the show, producing the show. So we call this one the Stevie for Boiled Bunny.
Boil.
B-O-Y-L-E-D.
Right.
Bunny.
Not a boiled bunny, but a boiled bunny.
Right. And we call it that because you remember the movie Fatal Attraction.
Yes, with Glenn Close.
Right. And Sandberg is the category star here because, A, she's crazy, like Glenn Close was in the movie. And B, she is boiled bunny attracted to only the things that interest her and trouble her. Right?
They're a little different, yeah.
All right, so here are the nominees. The niece wrote on my couch. When did that happen?
That happened in July. My niece took a pen to my white sofa.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not like it, so I don't think that makes me weird.
Poor girl. Poor niece didn't have a chance. Yeah. Poor thing.
And what happened to the couch?
It did come out.
Of your house?
Yeah, no, Stanley Steamer. Probably because we had it Smith coated because it's a Walter E. Smith couch. But still, I don't think there was no remorse from the child, and I don't think the parents really cared that much that it happened. It's your fault for leaving a pen out.
Oh, And Mary's niece, Faye Dunaway, did. We have not heard from Mary's niece since the incident.
Are you sure Mary's niece is around?
Yeah, no, yeah. No.
Nominee number two, your incredible, sadistic, kind of out there love for white Bounty paper towels. Nothing makes you happier.
I love the big rolls. You guys gave me some for my wedding.
That's right.
The large rolls, because I don't like to change them often. Just white. If you bring a pattern into the house, things might go badly.
What?
I can't have
They're
patterns.
Probably all gone by now, aren't they?
They're the best paper towel. It is not even
What will you do if debatable. Bounty What will you do if Bounty changes their manufacturing and suddenly they put prints on everything?
Oh, well, there's going to be revolt.
Why anger her?
Don't set her off.
Don't
please.
Poke the bear.
Please.
It's like when they changed Coke on me.
And finally, number three, seeing your neighbor's new washer and dryer and spying on them when their washer and dryer was replaced by yet another new washer and dryer.
I know. I'm so envious of that. I love doing laundry. I have two laundry rooms myself. I love new washers and dryers. Mark Doyle says he from Rags of Honor says his washer and dryer has like 40 settings.
Oh. Oh.
I want that.
It's like porn.
It's unbelievable.
I know.
It's like
the pedestal. Porn. I know.
That is, it's laundry porn.
That would make my head
I
explode.
I also only use Tide with bleach powder.
Oh, yeah.
And
Bounty know.
Free, or Bounty, the dryer sheets, free, no dyes or chemicals. I don't
let
like
me, Let me just say, you're right. It's not you, it's us. Let's go ahead and open the envelope.
There it is.
There it is. Yes. And the winner is... Well, this is, again, a shock. It's Mary Sandberg's Boiled Bunny Love for Bounty Paper Towels.
Bounty Paper Towels. I only like white.
Let's say the kids or your husband-to-be goes out and he sees, Scott, paper towels. I'm going to get this because they're cheaper. What happens when he comes home?
If those things come in the house, I cry.
Are you kidding?
No, and I really have cried. There's two things. I'm very serious about these paper products. Bounty paper towels. I only like white, and I like the big rolls because Pat uses a lot of paper towels, and I hate changing the roll. I also like I like Charmin Mega Rolls, the toilet paper. Only Mega Rolls. So I don't like the smaller size ones. Give me the Megas. They look better on the roll, and I also like them. I like the toilet paper coming over the top, but we won't even get into that. And okay. I have cried over a Viva paper towel being brought into the house. And so it's gotten to the point where they didn't have the Bounty big rolls. And when he'll come in, very rarely does he pick these products up, but he came in not too long ago and was like, hey, just to give you a warning, they didn't have the Bounty big rolls. They only had the small Selecta size, but I got those, which are still Bounty, uh-huh. But they're still white. Like, he's ready for me to lose my
That's Mary Sandberg Boyle and her white Bounty paper towels. Any thoughts on your win?
I believe I deserved this win.
Since you're the only one in the category, I like your chance.
I will say, though, I still hear from listeners from that day where they're like, Mary, I'm with you. Bounty and Charmin, my girl. People really care about their paper products. That are really smart, too.
They're like, Mary, I know a good doctor. I know someone right. you can talk to. Yeah.
You know what I love about this? When you were playing the clips back, Mary is sitting here going, yes.
That girl makes a lot
that
of sense.
That girl is right on target.
We're coming back with more Stevie Awards and the big story next at 720 WGN.
I don't know who this girl is.
Well, the excitement continues to build. Is that excitement or gas? I sense a gas smell. Yeah. We should probably call the company that takes care of that. We're back live in the Allstate Showcase studio. It's the Stevie Awards. Dave, we're on CLTV. Would you stand up and show everybody the beautiful tuxedo you've chosen today?
Oh.
Yeah, very nice. Want to spin around, give him a little booty shot?
I don't think so, Steve.
Oh, right. Just
I don't believe that's going to happen, Steve.
Did we ask checking. Dave who he's wearing?
Yes, it was Calvin Klein, wasn't
yes,
it?
Yes, it was.
Or was it Calvin Klein's brother, Sam?
It was Sam Klein.
The Stevie Awards 2017. We spent a lot of money on these awards, as you can tell. It's a high-budget operation. Andrea, what do you think of how things are going so far?
I think things are going really well. The audience could be a little bit more, participating, but that's okay because there's only one of him.
Let's go live to the audience now. John DeCoste is our only audience member today. John.
Yeah, can we just move on?
All right, we will. And this one you're going to like a lot, John, because it's your category. This is Best John DeCoste Song. Best
okay.
John DeCoste song. The nominees are the Jimmy DeCastro song, Jimmy DeCastro, our GM Emeritus. Jimmy DeCastro, you did a song for him, sucking up to him because he's very wealthy, hoping that you'd somehow benefit from that. That's one nominee. Another nominee, the Republican Convention song, which we thought was terrific. You were at the Republican Convention.
Yeah, I love this
Convention's
song.
A Republican.
Yeah, yes. It was tremendous. And then there's the David Hochberg song. David Hochberg from Pearl Mortgage.
Oh, yes.
Who's on the show so much he demanded his own song.
Yeah, and it was great, except for the singing.
All right. Let's go ahead and see who the winner is. Can we get smaller envelopes next year?
Anticipation.
I mean, that's the thing. If the envelopes are smaller, I think we could probably fly through this. Oh, and look at this. The winner is this is an upset. I believe the voting and the other two probably equaled each other out because the David Hochberg song is a winner.
All the votes went through Pearl Mortgage.
Actually did. Pearl Mortgage Accounting. Yes. They actually did this for us. Roll it.
A short time ago, not too long, just a while, talking up Pearl Mortgage 720 on the dial. And I've seen Ross grow from a boy to a man. I told him I could pay him more than radio can. He said, up to now, Gianna Pops have been my whole life. I need to talk to Lauren, get permission from my wife. I really need to ask my wife.
And let's bring in Ross Cochran.
I took Ross Cochran.
Because no one wants to hear this.
No.
Ross Cochran, are you live at Pearl Mortgage right now?
I am live at Pearl Mortgage reading a fascinating article about rising mortgage rates, loosening the credit standards, and I'm going to need David's song to be the backdrop of anything I read about my industry.
Oh, it's fantastic. Congratulations, son. You're a winner.
I am honored.
He's a winner. Somebody's a winner.
Somebody.
John, you should accept it. Yeah. You're the winner.
Yeah, but we can let Ross talk.
But you orchestrated this.
I orchestrated, yes.
So you produced this.
I produced this.
Yes, you're kind of the Pharrell of this song.
A little bit of the Pharrell, although I really don't want to take any credit for this at all.
I don't blame you. Well, congratulations to both of you. And Ross, don't go far. Stand by because I have a feeling you may show up again because the next category is the Anna DeVlantis 2017 Trader of the Year Award.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
Yes.
Campaigning for that.
The Trader of the Year Award. The nominees are Kevin Powell and Ross Cochran.
Oh.
Both of them were on the show. Both of them left like Anna did. That's why the award's named
the
after
traitor.
Her.
Yeah, but Ross did go to another show.
Steve.
Then again, he's your son.
Yeah, let's go ahead and see who wins.
That was fast.
Let's go ahead and take a look. It looks like a tie. Oh. Ross Cochran and Kevin Powell, Traitors of the Year. Congratulations.
Yes.
Kevin Powell was not available because he's even worse than a traitor. He's a no-account, unreliable loser. By the way, this afternoon with Roe.
love that show.
Any thoughts on that win?
I mean, I'm a little annoyed that it's a that I tied him. I mean, Kevin works down the hall from you guys, and obviously he's a vagrant and he's not reliable. But like, I went and worked in an industry that you don't even understand, and I'm your son.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Recount because I really should have won Trader of the Year.
Yeah, well,
Ross owned it. And he left the company.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
that's a good point.
Yeah, Kevin just wanted to wake up later.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. It's a very good point. Hey, Ross, don't go far. I have a feeling you may be up for this award as well. It's another award in the Stevie Awards. This is the Stevie Award. Again, the Stevie Awards, if you're just tuning in on Seal TV or wherever, the Stevie Awards, this is for incredible or mediocre or annoying performances on the Steve Cochran Show during 2017. By the way, did you notice Dave's wearing a tux?
I did, but I only, whenever I see Dave, I just imagine that he's wearing a tux. It just kind of adds up some class to him.
He's quite a James Bond. This award is for Breakout Star 2017. Breakout Star 2017, and Ross, the nominee is your daughter and my granddaughter, Abigail Grace.
Wait, are there other nominees?
Nope. Okay. And the winner is Abigail Grace.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Wait.
That is it. That is a... That's the most shocking win since Moonlight and La La Land.
No doubt about it. Since Abigail Grace can only say a few words, all of them more advanced than other one-year-olds, would you like to accept for her?
Yeah, I will accept on her behalf. And accepting on her behalf, I would say, where did the dog go? Because that's basically what she says.
Where did the dog go, and can I have some gragas? Yes, those are fish.
Gragas.
Gragas are crackers.
Oh.
You'll learn.
Oh.
Yeah, you'll learn.
What language are you teaching her?
Swahili. Thank you, Ross. Your Stevies are in the mail.
Oh, that's amazing. You know, you could probably just... wait, they're in the mail?
Yeah, wait till you see them.
All right, buddy, I love you. It's 9:52.
Not enough to give you the award outright.
In person.
Yep, apparently not. It hurts more if I give it to him without dragging Kevin in. Bill and Wendy coming up, and we still have more Stevies before the hour's complete on CLTV at 720 WGN.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Well, Kevin Powell.
I heard my name. Are you guys looking for me or something? What did I miss? I just heard Kevin Powell. Something good, I hope?
I don't think we said Kevin Powell.
No, I think the words loser, traitor, and others came up. But anyway, thanks for dropping by.
Yeah, good to be here, guys. Good to see you.
As time rolls on the Stevie Awards, the award for best political moment with you. We got a lot of awards we're not going to get to. Best political moment with you. Do you have a favorite?
Oh, either the guy selling yarmulkes or the guy who serenaded you in the alley as I was walking past the coffee house.
By the way, Andrea describing her weekend.
Yes.
Most awkward moment. We had Jane Lynch and Dan Hampton together, but I think we have to agree the most awkward moment by far, even more awkward than that. Damn envelopes. Burt Ward, Robin from Batman, blows us off. And then calls back to insist he can get on the air. And Burt Ward said this. This is the 50th anniversary of Batman.
I was the Cape Crusader, and now I am the Canine Crusader.
Amen to that. 50th anniversary of Batman.
We've rescued in the last 22 years 15,500. At all times, we have more than 50 in our home.
What, are you well, still fighting crime?
We could be on some island, you know, sipping... you know, iced teas because we don't drink, but we don't do it. We care for animals. This is our life's work, and we love people, and we know that everybody that has a dog, all you have to do is ask them.
This is the 50th anniversary of Batman, and now people who really know Bert
Ward. Ask them, how long would you like your dog to live? And everybody says the same thing, forever.
Of course.
Well, because they live such short lives, why not? If you're
Bert Ward is still talking. That was last June. He is still on hold, still talking, and still talking about his dog. Worst guest on the show, no question about it. The Senate Republican leader, Mitch McConnell. Oh,
yes.
My favorite. You can't decide, to confirm if you don't take the meeting.
Who should fill the vacancy? We're in the middle of a presidential election year.
Right.
Should the current president on the way out the door...
Well, then the point, does the presidential term end at 7 years, Republican or Democrat, or does it end at 8?
It doesn't. The last time the American people spoke was in November of 2014. They elected a Republican Senate. We have a separate role to play. And we believe that the next president should fill the vacancy.
Well, I understand you believe that, but isn't your job and the job of the Congress, or I should say the job of the Senate, to take this matter up in the final year? And
yeah, let me talk about that.
Well, hold on a second. I'm not done. I mean, it's fine what Biden said. I don't disagree with you.
It's our job to decide how to deal with it because we're in the majority. And
can we give Mitch McConnell Burt Ward's number?
Perfect.
And the two of them call each other. Yes.
I just expect him to go, with a name like Smuckers, it has to be good.
And finally, least likely to appear 2016, 2017, and beyond, Mike Madigan. You've been listening to The Stevies, a collection of the best, worst, and somewhere in between. We're back with Bill and Wendy next on 720 WGN.